shed his blood to make us his own. When we were little children, most of us sang that song entitled Mary Had a Little Lamb. It went something like this. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. Do you remember singing that song? There's more to that song, but those few lines are enough to remind us of that childhood chorus. As we sang that song as little children, we had no idea that something like that had actually happened. It never dawned on our childish minds that the Bible taught the very same story, that a young girl named Mary did in fact have a little lamb. That's exactly what we read and see happening in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. A young man by the name of Joseph was engaged to be married to a virgin named Mary. They were betrothed, which meant that they were actually legally married, yet they were not living yet as husband and wife. And during that time of betrothal, word came to Joseph that Mary was pregnant. He knew that he wasn't the father, so somebody else must be, and that news must have torn Joseph's heart in pieces. He believed that Mary had been unfaithful to him, and so he decided to get a divorce. And because Joseph loved Mary so much, and because he was a good and righteous man, he decided to divorce her quietly because he knew that the punishment for Mary's crime was death by stoning. Before he could actually put his plan into action, God sent an angel to Joseph. And he told Joseph that things were not like what they appeared. The angel told Joseph that the child conceived in Mary's womb was not conceived by human agency, but by the Holy Spirit of God himself. Mary was still a faithful virgin. The angel told Joseph that this baby was unique. This baby was a special child with a special mission. The angel told Joseph that he was to take Mary home to be his wife. And when that child was born, he was to give him the name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Now Joseph's reaction was to do exactly what the angel of the Lord told him to do. He took Mary home to be his wife and he waited with her until the day the baby was born. Now what Joseph and Mary did not fully realize or comprehend was that this baby who was growing up inside of Mary's womb was none other than the Lamb of God who would one day die in the place of sinners. They didn't understand that. They did not comprehend what that meant. Matthew 1 verse 25 tells us the Virgin Mary eventually did deliver this child. And when she did, the Lamb of God was born. In the greatest story of all Scripture, we learn the joyful truth that Mary did in fact have a little lamb. It's about this lamb. It's about this child. It's about this son. It's about this Savior and this Redeemer that I want to speak to you tonight. There are three things that I want to draw to your attention concerning this special child. Number one, Jesus Christ is a special lamb. Number two, Jesus Christ is a sacrificial lamb. And number three, Jesus Christ is a saving lamb. So first of all, I want you to think with me of the fact that Jesus Christ is a special lamb. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want exposure to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, why is Jesus Christ so special? Well, he's special because his conception was special. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have a human father. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. What makes the birth of Jesus Christ so utterly unique is that Jesus Christ is the only person to be born of a virgin. We all know the traditional methods by which babies are conceived and brought into this world. But the conception of Jesus Christ was so different. Jesus' mother was a virgin. Isaiah the prophet said this 700 years before the birth of Christ, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And in Luke's gospel in chapter 1, Mary says this, how will this be? She asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.
So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Now, this is an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. Without the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, we would not have a sinless Savior. And we would not have the hope of salvation. Jesus had to be born of a virgin. Dr. Al Mohler, the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, once wrote these words. He said, "Can a true Christian deny the virgin birth of Christ? The answer to that question must be a decisive no. Those who would deny the virgin birth reject the authority of Scripture, deny the supernatural birth of the Savior, undermine the very foundations of the gospel, and they have no way of explaining the deity of Christ." He went on to say this. He said, "Christians must face the fact that a denial of the virgin birth is a denial of Jesus as the Christ. The Savior who died for our sins was none other than the baby who was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. The virgin birth does not stand alone as a biblical doctrine. It is an irreducible part of the biblical revelation about the person and work of Jesus Christ. With it, the gospel stands or falls. It is impossible for us to be saved and deny the virgin birth of Christ. Not only is the Lord Jesus Christ a special lamb because of His conception, but listen, He's also a special lamb because of His conduct. I mean, from the day that Jesus came into this world until the day He ascended into heaven, He was a person of very special characteristics. And we see this clearly illustrated in at least three different ways. First of all, we see it in the miracles that Jesus Christ performed. Jesus fed the multitudes. He opened the blind eyes of those who couldn't see. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He calmed the seas. He turned water into wine. He cast out demons. Who else in the history of mankind was able to perform the miracles that Jesus Christ performed? There's no one like Jesus Christ. In fact, when Jesus was here before He began to preach, He stood up in the temple and He read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah the words that were meant for Him. And He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Everything that Jesus did marked Him as being special. He was so utterly unique. And you see that in the fact that Christ performed the miracles that He performed. And second, you don't only see it in His miracles, but you also see it in His message. Whenever Jesus Christ opened His mouth, people marveled at the things that He said. And you cannot read the Sermon on the Mount without being impressed by the power of the words of Jesus Christ. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." You cannot read that Sermon on the Mount without being impressed by the power of the words of Jesus Christ. Even when Jesus was 12, the doctors of the law were astonished at the things that He said. The Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 46, "No one ever spoke the way this man does." Luke 4:22 says, "All spoke well of Him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from His lips." All throughout the ministry, His ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ continued to amaze the crowds that heard Him speak. He was so utterly unique in the things that He said. And third, not only do we see it in His miracles and in His message, but we also see it in His methods. The way that Jesus carried Himself in this world set Him apart from every single person who's ever lived in human history. Never did Jesus Christ ever stoop to the level of His enemies. But He always kept the Father's will as the center of His focus. Nothing mattered more to Jesus Christ than pleasing His Heavenly Father. Do you remember what Jesus said when He was here? He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." He also said, "The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him." And so Jesus Christ is a special lamb because of His conception, but He's also a special lamb because of His conduct. And number three, Jesus Christ is a special lamb not only because of His conception and of His conduct, but also because of His claims. Jesus was never afraid to tell people who He really was. In fact, it was His very claims that caused the Jews to seek to kill Him, that caused the Jews to seek His death. What were those claims that Jesus made that set Him apart from any other person who's ever lived? Well, first of all, Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God. He said this in John chapter 10, verse 34. The Bible says, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If He called them gods to whom the Word of God came and the Scripture cannot be broken, what about the One whom the Father set apart as His very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse Me of blasphemy because I said I am God's Son? Do not believe Me unless I do what My Father does. But if I do it, even though you don't believe Me, believe the miracles, that you may know that and understand that the Father is in Me and I in the Father." And so Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to have a unique relationship to God the Father, unlike anyone else. And either Jesus Christ is a liar, or Jesus Christ is a lunatic, or Jesus Christ is Lord. There are no other options. Everyone around Him supposed Him to be the son of Joseph. But Jesus boldly said that He was the Son of God. Of the living God. And in the very same way that the doctrine of the virgin birth is an essential doctrine to salvation, so is the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. Unless a person comes to the place where they're willing to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, they cannot be saved. And not only did Jesus claim to be the Son of God, but Jesus went one step further. He also claimed to be God Himself. The Bible says in John 14:9, Jesus answered them, because Philip asked them. Philip, one of His disciples, says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us." You show us who God is. Show us God. That'll be enough for us. That's what Philip was saying. And listen to what Jesus says to him. Listen to how Jesus Christ responds. He says, "Don't you know Me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus, if you've seen Me, you have seen God. John 8:58, the Bible, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am." And in John 10, verse 30, Jesus Christ said, "I and the Father are one." And so Jesus Christ claimed equality to God in essence and in being and in nature and in character and attributes. And that claim was even more offensive to the Jews than the claim He made of being the Son of God. They rejected Him for it. By making that claim, Jesus was telling them that He was eternal, that He was their God in human flesh, and that they needed to bow down before Him and acknowledge Him as their God. Even the Apostle John said this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." And He says, "The Word became flesh, lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ is a special lamb. And we see His uniqueness in His conception, born of a virgin teenager. We see His uniqueness in His conduct, in the miracles He performed, in the messages that He spoke, in the method in terms of how He lived His life. And we see His uniqueness in the claims He made. He claimed to be the Son of God. We also claim to be God Himself, manifest in flesh. Jesus Christ is a special lamb. Number two, not only is Jesus Christ a special lamb, but He's also a sacrificial lamb. Listen to what the angel says. Joseph, the Bible says about Joseph, "But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Jesus Christ came into this world for one purpose, and for one purpose only. It was not to walk on water, and it was not to heal the sick, it was not to calm the seas, and it was not to raise the dead. Jesus Christ came into this world for the sole purpose of dying. He is a special lamb, but He came to be a sacrificial lamb. He came to die for sinners. The Bible says here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The Bible teaches us that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if Jesus Christ was going to accomplish that, there was a price that had to be paid. And Jesus paid that price when He went to the cross and suffered there as a substitute for every single person who would believe in Him. And in light of that, I want to bring out three thoughts about this sacrificial lamb. First of all, Jesus Christ was a spotless lamb. Under the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, before any lamb could be offered up as a sacrifice to God, it had to be thoroughly examined, and it had to be declared by the priest to be spotless. You see that in Numbers chapter 28. Any animal that was impure or blemished or deformed could never be offered up to God. For Jesus to become the sacrifice of atonement that would satisfy divine justice, He had to be a perfect specimen. He had to be without blemish. He had to be without spot. He had to be completely without sin. And Jesus fulfilled this perfectly. Not only is Jesus Christ the Son of God, but listen to me, Jesus Christ is also the sinless Son of God. The Bible says God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. It also says, but you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. When Jesus died on that cross, I want to tell you something, He shed innocent blood. He was a pure lamb who died for wretched sinners. And not only was Jesus Christ a spotless lamb, but He was also a submissive lamb. He wasn't forced into His role as a substitutionary sacrifice. He wasn't forced to go to the cross. Jesus Christ willingly submitted to everything that He endured. He willingly accomplished every single purpose the Father entrusted Him with. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." He could have called down 12 legions of angels to save Him if He wanted to. He could have spoken the word and His executioners would have vanished away into nothing. He could have expressed the very thought and all these men would have died. But that's not what Jesus did. It's not what He did. Instead, He endured the shame and the pain of the cross without saying a word. He submitted Himself to the Father's will, and He went to that cross to pay the price for man's sins. He was a submissive lamb. And we see the extent of that submission in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, when Jesus by Himself prays to the Father, and He says, "Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken away from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." We see the extent of His submission in the words of the Apostle Paul when Paul says this, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." But listen to these words. "He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." That is submission to the Father's will. A total abandonment to God's divine purpose. "Not my will, Father, but Your will be done. Not what I want, Lord, but what You want. Not what pleases me, Father, but the things that please You are what I will do in my life." Great submission. A submissive lamb. And not only was Jesus a spotless lamb and a submissive lamb, but He was also a sacrificed lamb. I want you to listen to this. Everything else meant absolutely nothing until this act was finally accomplished. It was not enough for Jesus Christ to be sinless. And it was not enough for Jesus Christ to be surrendered. He also had to be sacrificed. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." 1 Peter 3:18 says this, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Jesus Christ had to lay down His life. He had to die so that you and I could be saved. And so Christ was a sacrificial lamb. And that fact necessarily meant these three things. He was a spotless lamb, a submissive lamb, and a sacrificed lamb. He died in the sinner's place. One more point I want to make, and with this point I'm going to close. Not only is Jesus Christ a special lamb, not only is Jesus Christ a sacrificial lamb, but Jesus Christ is also a saving lamb. Listen to what the angel said. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Why Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. If the story ended with simply Jesus Christ dying on a cross, that would be a sad story indeed. There'd be no reason for us to be celebrating Christmas. There'd be no reason for us to be gathering together tonight in a church in the small town of Newcastle. There'd be no hope of peace with God. There'd be no assurance of the salvation of our souls. If Jesus Christ simply died, and that was the end of him, it would also be the end of us. Praise be to God that the story does not end there, friends. 3 days after Jesus died on that cross, he burst forth out of that tomb in resurrection. He lives forever. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 2, God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted to the right hand of God. He's received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be sure of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and because God the Father has made him both Lord and Christ, Jesus has the power to save sinners. The angel says you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Everyone who is lost in sin has great hope. They can flee to Jesus, and they can be received by Jesus, and they can be saved by Jesus. And there are three things that Jesus does for sinners who are lost in sin. First of all, Jesus Christ converts souls. He gives sinners new life. The Bible teaches that we're all dead in our transgressions and sins. Those who are dead in sin need to be made alive by God before we can ever put our trust in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, 2 verse 4, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. In saving us, Jesus must first of all regenerate us and convert our souls. And secondly, not only does Jesus convert souls, but in saving us, he also cleanses us from sin. His blood is the power to wash away all sin for all time. Isn't that glorious? Every evil thing you ever did, every evil thing I've ever done, in thought, in word, or in deed, can be washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for you know that that it was not with perishable things, as such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. Nothing but his precious blood. And thirdly, Jesus Christ doesn't only convert souls and cleanses from sin, but he also changes the sinner. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Those who've been saved by Jesus Christ are those who've been changed by Jesus Christ. If you have not been changed by Jesus Christ, then you have not been saved by Jesus Christ. In saving us, Christ converts our souls. He cleanses us from sin, and he changes our lives. Because God the Father has made Jesus Christ both Lord and Christ, not only does Jesus have the power to save sinners, but he also has the power to secure saints. Every single person who comes to Christ by faith never has to be afraid of losing that which has been given to them. When Jesus saves us, he also secures us. Jesus himself said this in John chapter 6, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on that last day. Now listen, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And Jesus also said this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus saves and Jesus keeps. Do not turn your back tonight, dear friend, on this saving Lamb of God. Not only does He have the power to save you, but Jesus Christ also has the power to secure you. Apart from Him, you have absolutely no hope. When you think about Christmas this year, try to keep everything in its proper perspective. Christmas cannot be allowed to slide into paganism or commercialism or some world of fantasy that involves Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and how the Grinch stole Christmas. You have been exposed to the truth of the Word of God tonight. And you've seen that Christmas is all about this Lamb, Mary's little Lamb, this special Lamb, this sacrificed Lamb, and this saving Lamb. Christmas is about you coming to know Him. Do you know Him tonight? Are you really sure that you know Jesus Christ tonight? If you don't, you can come to Jesus right now. The Bible says this. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Christ's arms are wide open to receive any single person who will come to Him in brokenness, in sore for their sin, to say, "Jesus, Lamb of God, save my soul." I trust that this year, if you don't know Jesus, you'll trust in Him. You'll give your life to Him. You'll surrender your soul to Him and ask Him to save you. And if you do know Him, worship this Lamb, love this Lamb, and follow this Lamb wherever He goes. Let's pray. Father, thank You and praise You so much for this special Lamb. Thank You and praise You so much for the sacrificed Lamb. And thank You and praise You so much for the saving Lamb. Lord, we've gathered here tonight as Christians. Most of us in this room are Christians. We've gathered here to celebrate the birth of the One who shed His blood to make us His own. Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for being born of a virgin. Thank You for living a sinless life. Thank You for dying on a cross for our sins. And thank You that on the third day You rose again from the dead. And You are now both Lord and Christ. You are a saving, securing Lamb. And we praise You and glorify You and worship You and thank You that Christmas is not about Santa Claus or Rudolph, but it's about You, Mary's little Lamb. Father, thank You for Christ. As we sing our last hymn now, as we leave this place tonight, help us to remember what Christmas is all about. Give us the grace, dear Father, to stand firm and to rejoice in the Lamb of God who saved us. And we pray for anyone here tonight who may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that Father, this Christmas, they may surrender their need to Jesus and ask Him to be their Lord, their King, and their Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray.